Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Movie and Mr. Phil. This week we review Limitless and Paul. And now, here are Mr. Movie and Mr. Phil.
Hello, I'm Mr. Movie.
And I'm Mr. Phil. First up, we have Limitless, starring Bradley Cooper as a writer who finds a way to fulfill his potential through illicit and dangerous pharmacological means.
You know how they say that we can only access 20% of our brain? This lets you access all of it. They've had clinical trials and it's FDA approved.
I was blind, but now I see.
A tablet a day, and I was limitless. I now had cultural appetites.
Since when do you speak Italian?
Math became useful.
From 12,000 to 2.3 million in 10 days.
I'm baffled by this guy.
So, Eddie Mora, what's your secret?
Medication.
Eddie Mora, played by Cooper, is at the end of his rope. He's disheveled, behind on his rent, has a serious case of writer's block, and his editor girlfriend has just broken up with him. He seems headed for the universe's slush pile. That is, until he meets his ex-brother-in-law, who gives him a clear pill and a lot of promises. Not having anything better to do, Eddie takes the drug and, wow, he is able to access his full potential. Just a few days, he's finished his novel, cleaned up his act, learned the piano, can even speak a half dozen languages, and is effortlessly hooked up and bedded about every woman he has met. And things go swimmingly until he realizes that the drug isn't all it's cracked up to be, as it never is. Now, Mr. Movie, a few weeks ago we reviewed The Adjustment Bureau and talked about how the story worked better than the conceit. Here the conceit is pretty good. You know, this magical drug that can help you access your full potential. Unfortunately, the story by Leslie Dixon is only so-so. For a lot of the film, it's an almost satire on instant fame, and it works on that level. But then the script takes a turn to thriller land, and not to give anything away, but it lets our hero off the hook in a big way at the end. And it's too bad. This could have been a great companion piece to Fight Club, which is a favorite of mine, which it echoes in a couple of spots, particularly with Bradley Cooper's self-knowing, nearly omniscient voiceover. But that film worked because the anti-hero just gets put through the ringer. And that's what we really needed here. We needed to have Cooper's Eddie Mora just get just totally put through the existential and physical ringer here. There's not enough of a stake or even a sense of danger and paranoia, which would have been great. I wanted more of the off-kilter stuff when the drug starts working a bit too well. What we get instead is our anti-hero effortlessly succeeding and self-medicating without working at it. And that's part of the point, but only part of it. In a great speech by the under and ill-used Robert De Niro as a Donald Trump-esque financial guru, he points out that Eddie hasn't earned any of his abilities and therefore doesn't use them well. It's a great speech and a great idea. Too bad the rest of the PG-13 rated film from Paramount didn't follow through on this potential. Cooper is appropriately smarmy as Eddie and the rest of the cast are okay, but it's Cooper's picture, and he carries it well enough. But I wonder if he got cold feet about playing the part to its logical conclusion. He is indeed one of the executive producers on the picture. The last sequence felt to me as if it was reshot. It doesn't quite track with the rest of the picture and brings up a big plot hole that sort of torpedoed much of the film that preceded it for me. But even with its big flaws, I liked the conceit, and I liked about the first half to two-thirds of the picture. I just wish that director Neil Berger hadn't limited the scope of the film and gave us the darkly satirical thrill ride his material deserved. I'm going to give Limitless a B, and I'm probably being a little overgenerous here.
Well, Mr. Film, I'm with you on this one. I like the movie's sense of humor, especially in the beginning. It's a good mix of laugh-out-loud comedy, thriller, mystery, and action all rolled into one package,
yeah.
But with a few side effects, like you mentioned. You know, there's a needlessly long chase scene at one point where Bradley Cooper is searching for the source of these pills.
Yeah.
You know, there's a mystery as to where he can get them. And, you know, rule number one in drama, if you have a setup that is suspenseful and the audience is begging to know what will happen when two
yeah.
opposing characters meet, don't drag it out for the whole movie to keep us engaged. That's just cheating. I mean, Limitless violates this rule, and we saw it better executed in Unknown a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
That is similar to this in terms of suspense and thrillers, I think, but much better and more artfully complex than I think Limitless is. But that being said, I enjoyed going on this venture with Bradley Cooper, and I liked Robert De Niro in this too, like you mentioned. You know, I wanted more of him, I wanted more of that, and there's the whole sort of smarts versus wisdom experience kind of argument that is brought into the mix here, and I like that. I wish it was explored a little bit more. I think the themes could have gotten a little bit deeper and a little bit more interesting had they done that. Ultimately, though, I think the picture is not very memorable, and like I said, Unknown is the clear winner in the thriller genre this year so far. But it was fun to experience Cooper's adventure, and the comedic elements were definitely worth the price of admission. So, you know, like you, Mr. Film, I'm going to give this movie a B.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it had a lot of great elements, and the whole idea of this wisdom, you know, and experience versus this kind of effortless pharmacological way that he gets access to all of his intelligence and knowledge was pretty interesting. And I'm with you. I know what Chase you're talking about. That really would have been I think that would have turned it also into a more interesting thriller. I mean, it was an okay thriller, but I think it would have been a more interesting, more dangerous sort of thriller territory than what they went for. So to a certain extent, I think they went for the easy way out. I think they kind of took a cue from the drug and took the easy way instead of the hard way. And I think that's why it didn't quite live up to its potential. But, you know, and I like you, I think Unknown was a bit, if I had a choice, I would go revisit Unknown before this. But I think they're both good. You know, it's a good enough picture.
Yeah. So. And I do like the idea, and it kind of makes you think about, well, what if I could access, you know, more of my own potential, not necessarily change who I am, but those are kind of fun things to contemplate. So it's fun to go on the ride here. You also mentioned the plot hole at the end. I agree with you on that. That was a big miss. And we've seen this in other movies before where basically they leave a big gap and they kind of leave it up to the audience to fill in like what might have happened or guessing or talking about it. And in a way, I think that's kind of cheating. It certainly is here, I think. But, you know, it's also kind of a conversation goer as well. So, you know, there is some value in that. But I'm not a big fan of that particular game.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind ambiguity. I don't mind those gaps and things of that sort, but in this one I think it lets the Bradley Cooper character off a little bit too easy.
Yeah.
Again, I don't want to give anything away, but I think it does let him off a little too easy, and I think it could have been a much stronger ending if they took it to its logic, took the whole conceit to its logical conclusion, which probably would have made it a much darker sort of film. So.
All right. Well, Mr. Film, I think our next movie is another sort of what if type of situation.
You're right indeed, Mr. Movie. Our next film is Paul, an alien buddy comedy starring real life buddies Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Going on a road trip, huh?
Yeah.
On a tour of America's most famous UFO hotspots.
I hear that.
I cannot believe we're going to see Area 51.
Hi.
I'm Paul.
What have you done to him?
He fainted.
Yeah, but you made him faint.
But it's not like I set my phaser to faint.
You've got a phaser?
Oh, God.
Graham, played by Simon Pegg, and Clyde, played by Nick Frost, are two English geek boys in the States for Comic-Con. To finish up their trip, they decide to do what any two red-blooded sci-fi nerds would do. Rent an RV and visit sites of famous alien landings. The trip is more or less uneventful till the boys witness a car crash and stop to help the passenger. And they find they've really gotten in over their heads when they meet Paul, an extraterrestrial who just wants to go home. Now, Paul is an uneven romp with some good belly laughs and geek boy humor, but which never really quite gets into the comedic orbit it aspires to. I really wanted to like this R-rated picture from Universal, but I just sort of liked it. I laughed, I got the jokes, but there was something missing from the finished product. It could be the absence of Pegg and Frost collaborator Edgar Wright, who directed them in the hilarious Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, but I don't think it was that. Both of those earlier films play off pop culture tropes just as deftly as Paul does. I think the problem is Paul. First off, Seth Rogen has really got to stop doing his shtick. As a matter of fact, I implore him and all of his brethren in the school of shtick, I mean you, Galifianakis, and Owen Wilson, and countless others, to just lay off the shtick for a while and try to act occasionally. Not in every flick, but the occasional one. Like here, it would be a nice palate cleanser for your fans and those who don't subscribe to the school of shtick. Dick, which can't work in moderation, and I suggest you study Bill Murray on that count. But more fundamentally, I don't think it was quite Rogan's voice performance that sort of derailed the picture, but the introduction of an alien at all. The guys are interesting enough on their own, and a road picture about geographic aliens trolling all over the American West, checking out the sites where extraterrestrial aliens have visited, could have been hilarious enough without introducing the little green man. Now, the script was clever and dealt with some big ideas, particularly about religion and sex, which was sort of refreshing that we saw something that was a little ambitious. The supporting cast was generally good, with Kristen Wiig as a particular standout as the fundamentalist Ruth. I liked how her transformation was handled, how she went from one end of the spectrum to the other. The rest of the supporting cast were funny. I particularly enjoyed the antics of the equally geeky FBI agents pursuing Paul. I just wish I could have connected better to Paul, gotten more of a stranger in a strange land vibe from him. Rogan played it too much for poopy joke laughs instead of going for the existential ones. So I'm really torn about this one, Mr. Movie. I wanted to like it a lot better than I did, but I can't bring myself to give this anything less than a B. And that's just because the stuff that did work was pretty good, and I did laugh out loud a couple of times.
All right, that's fair enough. I mean, I think B is a bit generous. I see.
I agree, but I just couldn't bring myself to do anything lower.
I mean, I see where you're coming from, and you're right. Seth Rogen as the alien just didn't work at all. This is kind of an odd mix of nerdy humor and drug related jokes that just don't go together. And I think because they were trying to accommodate both audiences, I think it'll leave both feeling a little bit dissatisfied.
Yeah,
I wanted to like the picture too, and the premise in and of itself is pretty funny, but Rogan just doesn't fit. And Mr. Film, you mentioned Bill Murray. I think if he was cast in the role as Paul, this would have just been bloody brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also kind of a borderline spoof movie. You know, there's plenty in here that audiences will recognize and have fun with, you know, throwbacks to E.T. and Star Wars and every nerdy movie you can think of.
Yeah, you name it, it's in there.
Yeah,
for
and
sure.
On the other hand, there's almost a little bit too much packed in that we feel a little left out at times on the jokes. And I also thought Jason Bateman was wasted here, too. You know, he was really funny in The Switch, which we both gave a good review and is actually out on DVD this week, Mr. Film.
Oh, okay, good.
But
yeah, check it out.
He's just not given the opportunity to let his charm and comedic talent shine here, which is a shame.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you about Kristen Wiig. She was terrific in this, and she really saved the movie for me. And you know, it's interesting because I never liked her on Saturday Night Live, but we saw her in a serious role a few months ago in All Good Things, where she really showed us that she has the acting chops to pull off a complex and serious role. And talk about laying off the shtick, Mr. Film. While her role is comedic here, there's a complexity in her performance that is missing from the rest of the cast, I think.
Yeah,
I'm really interested to see what Wiig will do next, and I wouldn't be surprised if she's up for an Academy Award for acting by the end of the decade. I really hope someone takes a risk with her and gives her such an opportunity, because I think she'll take everyone by surprise in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, I really do, too. I've been watching Kristen Wiig on Saturday Night Live from the last couple seasons, and typically the sketches she's in are pretty terrible. I think just a lot of the writing in the last couple of years have been pretty terrible on Saturday Night Live, but she's really terrific here, and I'm glad that she played it more or less as almost a straight role, which was kind of, I think, a very smart move on her part here. So it was a refreshing role. It was an interesting, multifaceted role for her. So I think there is a lot in Paul to recommend it. It just didn't quite hit the stratosphere the way I'd hoped.
Yeah, I can't really say that. It's hard for me to recommend the movie. I think even diehard Simon Pegg fans will be a little disappointed. But you know what? If you are one, there's still enough here for those folks to maybe go check this out or rent it when it's available for home viewing.
Yeah, definitely rent it, yeah.
I'm going to give it a C+, Mr. Film. I just can't get up in the B range.
Okay. Well, I can see where you're coming from there. I think the Geek Boys will like it well enough. If you're a Rogan fan, you'll like it well enough. But it isn't the gem that it could have been. So a little bit of a disappointment.
All right. Well, that's it for this show, Mr. Film.
All right.
Please visit our website at www.moviefilmshow.com. If you have a comment or question, just write to mail@moviefilmshow.com. Or if you want to call in and leave us a comment, just call 818-581-2010. And if anybody listening out there has anything interesting to say about the show or the movies we've talked about here, call and leave a message, and we might play it on the show in a future show.
All right.
That's it for this week, Mr. Film. I'll see you next show.
I'll see you next show, Mr. Movie.
The audience is begging to know what will happen when two opposing characters meet, Mr. Movie.
And
Mr. Film?
Mr. Film. Could have been hilarious enough without introducing Mr. Movie.
Mr. Film just didn't work at all. Mr. Movie is the clear winner in
the movie film show
genre this year so far. I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Movie is up for an Academy Award by the end of the decade.
Wow! Mr. Movie hasn't earned any of his abilities and therefore doesn't use them well. He's behind on his rent. I wonder if Mr. Movie got cold feet about playing the part to its logical conclusion. Mr. Film would be a nice palate cleanser for those who don't subscribe to the school of Mr. Movie.
I never liked Mr. Film.
Mr. Movie seems headed for the universe's slush pile. That is, until he meets Mr. Film.
This is kind of an odd mix of Mr. Film. Humor and Mr. Movie. Jokes that just don't go together. And I think because they were trying to accommodate both audiences, I think it'll leave both feeling a little bit dissatisfied.
Yeah. The last sequence felt to me as if it was reshot. I think the problem is Paul.